I put it like, I put it.
As undoubtedly you're aware, the Torah has presented to us in two separate parshios, tochacha, words of rebuke that were given to Klal Yisrael. The first tochacha is found at the end of Sefer Vayikra in Parshas Bechukosai, and the second tochacha is found here in Parshas Kisavo. What's the distinction between these two tochachos is the subject of a rather extensive discussion among the Gdolei HaRishonim. And in Chazal, a clear Gemara, Maseches Megillah, the Gemara distinguishes between these two tochachos. But in general, one of the rules of tochacha, every tochacha has to be accompanied by a nechama. You can't just rebuke a Jew without also lifting them up. You can't just go ahead and cast aspersions on Klal Yisrael without providing them with chizuk, without providing them with some support, without demonstrating your trust in them, and without showing them their ability to once again rise up from the doldrums. So when one examines the two sets of tochachos, one finds that the nechama, the consolation, or the divrei chizuk that's found in both of these tochachos is markedly different one from the other. The Ramban comments a number of times that the first tochacha corresponds to the Churban Bayis Rishon, the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash, and the tochacha that's found in Kisavo corresponds to the Churban Bayis Sheni, to the second destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Where are the Divrei Nechama? Where are the words of consolation in these two parshios? So in Bechukosai, I don't have a Chumash Vayikra, but in Bechukosai, you'll notice, after the Torah issues Divrei Tochacha, at the end, the Torah says, V'zachati es Brisi Yaakov, that's actually not over there, but rather, the Torah tells us over there, O Ozi Kanal Vavam He'arel, the Torah speaks about Hachna of Levavam He'arel. Your uncircumcised heart will be subject to Hachna. Hachna means, Lehikana means, in simple Hebrew, that you will be
surrender.
How do you translate it?
Surrender.
Surrender. Okay, there is an element of surrender in Hachna, unquestionably. Hachna means to be humble. That a person will, in effect, have a sense of humility. So it mentions over there, O Ozi Kana Levavam He'arel, your uncircumcised hearts will be nichna, will be subject to a humility. And then it says, as I mentioned, V'zachadis B'si Yaakov, V'yavis B'si Yitzchak, V'yavis B'si Avram, Eskor, V'aretz Eskor. That's the psukim in the end of Parshas Bechukosai, at the end of the Tochacha. Here in Kisavo, when you look for the Nechama, you don't see it. So you examine the psukim, the Torah ends in a very abrupt way, the tochacha. The Torah tells us that we're going to be scattered, and v'heshivcha Hashem Mitzrayim ba'anios, baderech asher amarti lecha lo salsif ol dirosa, v'ismakartem shom li'yodecha la'abadim v'lishvachos v'en koneh. That's it. And then it sums it up by saying, Eilu Debri Abris, Ashetzimu Hashem Es Moshe Lichvos Es Bnei Yisrael V'Eretz Moav. This second bris is called the bris of Aras Moav. Milvad Abris Hashakaras Itam B'Chorev is the bris that's mentioned earlier in Parshat B'chul Kosai. There are two different covenants. One is the covenant that was consummated with us in Chorev, Har Sinai. That's the one in B'chul Kosai. There we have elements of the Chama, as I mentioned. O'ozi Kanal Vavam He'arel. And here, in the Parshat Kisavo, we don't seem to have any Nechama. So the Rishonim write, at the end of Masechet Megillah, there is Nechama, but where is it found? In the next Parsha, in Parsha Nitzavim. If you examine Parsha Nitzavim, you'll notice the Torah seems to continue with the Dire Tochacha, with the words of rebuke, and the Torah continues with the Bris that's mentioned in Aras Moav, and here we have a lot of very harsh terminology. The Torah says here in Nitzavim, it speaks about an individual, Isho, Isho, Mishpacha, Shevet, Asher Levava Fone Hayom Yim Hashem Elokeinu, someone who may be led to idolatry, to Avodah Zarah. Lo Leches La'avod Asolei Agoyim Ha'ein. Why? Because of the Shorish Pararosh V'lana, because of Shorashim, roots that are rotten. Shorashim that are not well developed. Shorashim in Torah and Mitzvahs, obviously. And so it tells us, V'hoya B'shomos Dibi Ha'ola Azos, and you think everything is fine, everything is dandy? The Torah says, "Rachmanu litzlan lo yove Hashem slach lo," that you will not be forgiven. The wrath of Hashem is going to be incurred. Oz yeshan av Hashem mikinaso ba'ishahu, and all the imprecations, all the curses, will be hurled at you. V'rof tzavo kol ha'ala aksuv v'asir razeh umach Hashem eshmo mitachas hashemoyim, and it's frightening. The entire description, because the Torah goes on to say, God forbid. What could happen to Eretz Yisrael? Gafris v'melach sreifo kol arzo. Eretz Yisrael could be, Rachmanu litzlan, could implode, could be subject to destruction. And it's compared to k'mapecha sdom v'amora. So, the non-Jewish world, says the Torah, they understand what happened. We abandoned the covenant, we abandoned the bris of Hashem, these are the results, these are the consequences. And somehow, we don't seem to understand. Hanistaros Hashem Elokeinu. So again, this doesn't sound like Divrei Nechama at all. Sounds like an extension, a continuation of the Divrei Tochacha. So then, following upon the heels of that, the Torah then describes and uses the following language. Perek Lamed Pasuk Vav, Umol Hashem Elokecha Eslavavecha V'Eslavav Zarecha. Notice the parallel between this terminology and the one that I just mentioned earlier in B'chul Kosai. There the Torah says, O'oz Yikana Levavam He'areel. Your uncircumcised heart, levavam he'arel. The word arel, as you know, is associated with what does arel mean? Someone who is not circumcised. It's associated with bris milah. So there we're talking about a minimalistic level, somehow, of tshuva. Not a full tshuva, but rather a partial tshuva. And here the Torah says, Umol Hashem Elokecha zavavacha v'eslavav zarecha. This is the Ramban's note, it's not my chiddush. Here the Torah speaks about circumcising one's heart. There it says, O'ozi kanal v'avam ha'arel, and here it says, U'mal Hashem lo'kech eslevavcha, mila saleh. So the two are clearly contrasted one with the other. There is the hachna of the arla saleh, and then there's the mila of the arla saleh. So obviously this is a much higher level. The Ramban here, at great length, describes this idyllic portrait of a people who are going to come back to Hashem in a fulsome, in a full-throated kind of way, especially according to the Shittas Ramban, that the mitzvah of tshuva is found right here in this context. The Torah speaks about B'shaftar Hashem Elokecha. The Ramban claims there's a mitzvah say of tshuva. The Mokra is right here in Parshas Nitzavim. So what do we see? That these are the Divrei Nechama that are essentially associated with Parshas Kisavim. And those the Divrei Nechama that are found in B'chul Kosai are right there embedded in the Pasuk. Hashem ki Divrei Nechama of Kisavim are found here in Nitzavim. This is pointed out by Tosfos Reed, by many other Rishonim. Ramban Kimat says it explicitly. One of the Peushim al Torah that you must learn carefully, thoroughly, methodically, comprehensively is the Ramban. You don't learn the Ramban al Torah, you understand nothing in Chumash. Zero. Rashi more or less is concerned about Pshat. But the Ramban is concerned about the underlying conceptual apparatus of what the Torah is all about. So here we have Dibri Nechama. But still that doesn't tell us the distinction between the two covenants. The Bris of Chorev, or the bris of Har Sinai, that's the bris of B'chul Kosai, and this bris is the bris of Aras Moav. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the first parak, the Gemara points out that something happened regarding this bris, the second one in Tochacha of Kisavo, which did not exist heretofore. The bris of Chorit did not have the elements that are found over here in the bris of Kisavo and Nisavo. What is that? It's very much embedded in the Pasuk, and I'll read it to you. We read it a second ago, but it's almost explicit in Rashi. The Torah mentioned, Pen yesh b'chem isho isho mishpacha u'shevet. Someone is led to Avodah Zarah. Who's doing a sin? Ish, oh isho, these are individuals. Mishpacha is a family, shevet is a tribe. They're doing an Avera. What Avera? Avodah Zarah. Who is punished? The Torah says, I read it to you a second ago, I'll read it again. It says, if these individuals, or collective groups, families, etc., committed an Avera, so then Hashem is going to essentially throw the book at us, and as a result, Rachman al-Litzan, what could be destroyed? Eretz Yisrael. So in simple Hebrew, Hebrew is a fascinating language. I mentioned yesterday the reason why I speak Hebrew is because Hebrew consists of three segments. 50% words that are transliterated from English. 30% slang, which is slang. And maybe that's 20% Hebrew. And because of that, I speak Hebrew, so you can do it also. You're much smarter than I am. So undoubtedly, you can acquire the Hebrew language, which is a good thing to do. You might be able to understand Chumash if you acquire the Hebrew language. So there's something which is very striking here. An individual commits a sin, or even a mishpacha, or a shevet, and yet who is punished? All of Klal Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael is subject to destruction, Rachman al-Litzlan. So as they would say in simple Hebrew, ze lo fair. That's a Hebrew expression. Israelis use it all the time. Zelo fair. What does it mean, zelo fair? It's not fair. It's not beseder. Is that right? Whereas the Gemara uses different expressions to describe this phenomena. Tuv yechata v'zigul mingid. One guy commits a sin and the other guy should be punished. Who should be punished? The one who committed the sin. Why is all Klal Yisrael tarred and feathered? This kasha is yes by Rashi. You don't even have to come to the Ramban. Rashi asked the question. Rashi here in the Yisavin, after the Torah describes in a very macabre kind of way the destruction of Eretz Yisrael, says Rashi, on the pasuk of Hanistoros Hashem Elokeinu, v'im tomru, you got to ask the following question of the Almighty: Ma biyodenu lasos ato manish et harabim al hiruri ayochid? You're punishing all Klal Yisrael for the sins of whom? Of individuals. Zelo fair. That's what Rashi asks. Shenema, Rashi goes to pasuk. Pen yesh b'chem isho isha o mishpacha o shevet. And yet, what happens? The consequence is absolutely catastrophic for Klal Yisrael, for Eretz Yisrael. Zelo fair. And the Rashi quotes the psukim, V'achakach, V'ro es mako sarat ha'iv es tachloer, V'alo ein anu yudeh, matmonosov shechavero. Why should I be responsible for you? So Rashi answers what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. The Gemara points out that something happened when Klal Yisrael crossed the Yarden. What happened when we crossed the Yarden? We became responsible for each other. What is that called in Halacha? That concept? Kol Yisrael, Arevim, Zelozim. We are co-signers. I'm responsible for you. You are responsible for me. And when did that happen? When we crossed the Yarden. The Gemara derives it from the story found in Tanakh about Ochon. Ochon committed a sin, if you recall. And who was punished? The Pasuk says, Chata Yisrael. Why is all these Klal Yisrael tarred and feathered for the sin of one person? The answer is we crossed the Yarden. And once we crossed the Yarden, There's a concept called arevos. We are all responsible for each other. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal brought, I think, a tremendous raya to this concept. You remember the rebellion of Korach. Korach rebelled. And what did Hashem want to do? He wanted to basically destroy Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, the ultimate defense attorney of Klal Yisrael, he said to Ribbono Shalom, Ho'ish echad yechatov yalkol ha'edo tiktov. One person sins and you're getting angry at the entire Klal Yisrael. What was he saying in three words? Zeh lo fair. So what did Hashem do? He accepted the taina of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because before we crossed the Yarden. Once we crossed the Yarden, that taina is no longer a taina. Because once we crossed the Yarden, now we have a yesod called Yisrael Rebim Zalazem. And that yesod is embedded in these psukim. Namely, even though one person, Isha, Isha, Mishpacha, Sheva, commits a sin, who is responsible now? All of Klal Yisrael. Kol Yisrael Rebim Zalazem. And that's probably the reason why the Torah throughout this parsha, strikingly, this is also in the Ramban, is the one who comments on this. The Torah uses the word again and again and again, also in Nitzavim. There's one word that appears too often. Whenever you examine a text, whether it's in Chumash, whether it's in Tanakh, the Torah actually is able to, in a telepathic kind of fashion, the Torah actually sends us messages, all kinds of messages. And here there's a clear message the Torah actually has presented to us with the use of one word. And I'll just read a few psukim, you'll get my drift in a moment. In Perach Abba, Pasuk Tezayin, let's start. Hayom azeh Hashem Elokecha mitzavcho la'asos. Next Pasuk, Yitzayin. Es Hashem he'amarta hayom. I continue. Yudches. V'Hashem he'amircha hayom. Perach Avzayin, let's start over there. Asher anochi mitzave eschem hayom. How many times do you want me to read it? It's about 35 times in the curse. I didn't count it, but it's many, many times. Scores of times. Umpteen times. Countless times the Torah repeats the idea of Hayom and the beginning of the Sabbath as well. The Torah mentions Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem Levnei Hashem Elokeichem. A bit later, the Torah uses the expression Asher Hashem Elokecha Korei Simcha Hayom. Leman hakim oscha hayom lo liyom bui yelach alelukim and on ki es asher yeshno po beis asher inenu po imanu hayom and again and again and again countless number of times. Why? There's a new bris, there's a new covenant that's being consummated here. This is the covenant of Arvos Moav, which is markedly different than the covenant of Bechukosai, the covenant of Chorev. Tzvei dinim, dialectic. That's the story of Kol HaTorah Kula. Torah was written by a briska, pretty obvious. Tvei dinim, two brisim, two covenants, markedly different one from the other. And it's underscored by this language of Hayom that the Torah mentions, as I said, many, many times. That was the Hakdama. Now, my watch is not working today, or I have that fault. So I can. There's no Issa of Altese when it comes to Talmud Torah.
Mine works.
It's better, I not comment, it's Chayde Shelo. I'll have Rachmanis and I'll have Shabula. I once in a meeting, I was zeichet to meet Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Shabula. Chacham David Shamula. I was once zeicha to meet Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in 1983. And the conversation was relating to the fact that I wanted to leave the world of chinuch and the rabbinate. And my Rebbe, Rav Nissim Alper Zatzal, didn't think it was a good idea. Rav Shamula, perhaps you think otherwise. But anyway, he did not think it was a good idea. And so he told me, I'm taking you to the Gadol HaDor. I thought he was going to take me to his Rebbe, Rav Moshe Feinstein. No, he took me to Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in Muncie. He was 93 years old at that time. Sharp as anything. Wow. The meeting was approximately an hour and 15 minutes. It should have been 5 minutes, but I decided to stay there. And, you know, once you have a gadol under your thumb, I like to stalk Gadol Yisrael. And so I went after him with a million silly Billy questions that I have in so many areas. I remember my wife kept kicking me that we should leave the man alone. He's an older man. He says, okay. My wife was there with me. Conversation was in Yiddish. I spoke in English. He spoke in Yiddish. It was great. Outstanding. Why am I mentioning this conversation, Rabbi Shamula? Chacham David Shamula Shlita. He told me the following story, Rabbi Yankin. I hope this is not counted among the minutes I'm using. He told me the following story, Rabbi Yankin. Rabbi Yankin Kamenetsky. He told the story about a person, a young man who was going on a train. I forgot from where to where. You have to ask Rabbi Elshin Shlita. He's very familiar with Europe. I'm totally unfamiliar with Europe. He was going from place X to place Y. And there was an older man traveling there as well. And he, every few minutes, he asked the man, what time is it? Are we there yet? And the man just disregarded him. He asked him once, asked him twice, asked him a third time, asked him a fourth time, and the train continues to travel to their destination. After an hour and a half of this kind of banter, this kind of encounter, the man says to the young man, listen, I'm tired of your constantly asking me this question. I know what you're up to. You want to know the time. But that's not what you really want to know. You want to engage me in conversation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Znichnas Imanu B'dvorim, where Rashi quotes all of Chumash. You want to engage me in conversation. You're going to start talking to me. First we start with, what time is it? How are you? What do you do for a living? Where are you going? Why are you going where you're going? And on and on and on. And finally you're going to get to, do you have a daughter? I need a shidduch. Let's get married. That is, let me marry your daughter. Will I marry my daughter to a guy who doesn't have a watch? So I said to Rabbi Yaakov, what does that mean? He says, how could a Jew have not a watch? Zman Kriya Shema, Zman Tfilo. How does he operate without a watch? Okay, we're not including that in the Zman. Okay, Rabbi Goldschmidt is looking at me with that, shall we say, kind of look that means that your time is up. But my watch isn't working. But Chacham Shamula's watch is working. But that's a Sephardic watch, not an Ashkenazic one.
Don't take the train.
What do you say?
Don't take the train.
Don't take the train? They speak in riddles. It's all Kabbalah. Let me just, I guess, summarize what I want to say. Baruch Hashem, you came to the yeshiva. It's a new zman, a new start. Hakoyin, Agodim, Echov. Hayom Azeh, Niyeh Soleom. You have an opportunity here in Eretz Yisrael to go to climb to heights that you probably will never zocher to do in your entire life. I know when I spent a year and a half in Eretz Yisrael in 1971-72, slightly before you were born, a year or two. I just turned 24. My wife just turned 21. So, what Eretz Yisrael did for me was remarkable. I was familiar with Limud HaTorah. I was already zochet to hear Rav Soloveitchik a fair number of years. I started hearing him in my teens. My father, Vashon, took me to the Pioneer Country Club in the Catskills to hear his drushes to Mizrahi. The Fiat drushes, the Chamesh drushot, as they're known, I heard all of it. I was literally 15, 16, 17 years old. Didn't have a clue what the Rav was talking about. But one thing I knew, I was absolutely mesmerized by him. And that was my introduction to what the world of Torah and Hashem Yisbarach were all about. So I came to Eretz Yisrael, and I saw here, wow. I saw Limud HaTorah at the highest of levels. I was in yeshiva, where every ram in my yeshiva in Israel was a Gadol B'Yisrael. I'm not exaggerating. The small ones were Rav Michal Zilber. He was in his 30s. He's the fellow with the Daf Yomis. He knew Kol HaShas. And then there were a few others, Rav Shmuel Auerbach. He was the Rosh Kedel. Rav Shlomo Fischer. Gone beyond belief. The Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Elephant, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Mind-boggling giant. Talmudic giant, and we as Shein Kamo. Rav Keshelevsky, Rav Tzvi Keshelevsky, Shlita, Shashem Yarech Yomov. Wow, what a galaxy of Gdolei Yisrael. Mind-boggling. I told the story the other day, and I'll maybe tell it over here as well. After Yom Kippur, they try to convince him to make Aliyah. Are you ready to make Aliyah? You're honest. I didn't know what to do. They pounced on me. I should make Aliyah. So I wasn't planning on making Aliyah then. Baruch Hashem was offered to make Aliyah. I hope that will happen to you as well. Not just you individually, but you collectively. So they told me to visit one of the Gdolei Yisrael. I said, who should I visit? They told me Rabbi Auerbach. You ever heard that name? Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach? Nice rabbi. Rabbi Auerbach. Very nice fellow. Lived in Rechavia. So I went to Rechavia, and I knocked on the door of his house. I asked, Hayim ze habayit Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach? A gentleman answers, he looks pretty distinguished, white beard, long coat, the whole regalia. So he said, Ken, yes. I said, Avani b'chapes Rav Shlomo Zalman. I'm looking for Rav Shlomo Zalman. I'm not looking for the bayis of Auerbach. So he said, Abba v'ima kavod li Shlomo Zalman. My father and mother called me Shlomo Zalman. So I imagined that was the right place. And so I came in. I asked him my question about holding one day of Yom Tov, which people today do as a matter of course, based on amaratzis and ignoramuses and ignorance. Whatever the case is, never learned the sugyas b'chlal, never saw anything, neither b'chaber, gemaras, garnished. The whole one day? Okay, that was just an editorial comment. Yitzhar, I went into him, I asked him his question, he answered it. Then I said, I have other questions. He told me, sit down. I sat down. I was there again over an hour. In the middle of it, he asked me, are you hungry? Which American boy is not hungry? Of course I'm hungry. Yes, what do you like? I said, chocolate rugelach. Very specific. You hear this? I asked the Gadol HaDor to bring me chocolate rugelach. Tells me, I don't know if I have chocolate rugelach. I'll look. He goes looking. He said, my Rebbetzin is not here. I'll look. He goes inside the kitchen and he finds chocolate rugelach. He brought me chocolate rugelach. Wow. I said, this is a nice man. Nice fella. What do? I proceed to make a bracha and eat the chocolate rugelach right in front of him. Would you say that's a respectful thing to do in front of the Gadol HaDor? You're a smart man. You're younger than I was, much younger, when I went to Eretz Yisrael, and you're much smarter than me. Baruch Hashem, you were taught well. In the middle of the, he continues, I said to him, I'm thirsty now, after all those chocolate rugelach. He said, what would you like? I said, can I have some hot tea? He then goes into the kitchen. I follow him. He's got this old chaynik. You know what a chaynik is? How do you pronounce, translate the word?
Kettle.
An old chaynik. The word, the haka chaynik. That's what I was doing to him. Bang against the kettle. Makes a lot of noise. The hissing, the steam, the whole business. Till it finally boils up. He then goes ahead, makes tea for Avishai David. I don't know if I'll ever get kapara for any of this. I doubt it. I doubt it. Rav Apfel, maybe I'll go to speak to you about it. I said to myself, Vez Mir. And then I told people what I did. I remember years later, I told her, I've never saw Shlita. He's Talmud Muvak, what I did the first time. Rav Nevinsol was shaking. He said to me, Harav David, Hishtagata? Did you go off the deep end? The answer is yes. But I didn't know it. Was it my fault? I was a young man. For goodness sakes. And I liked those rugelach. And the tea was also good. Then I asked him afterwards, can I come back? He said, anytime you want. Every week I was there. Every Friday I went to visit Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach for approximately a year and a half. So I don't think necessarily that we have here Ramim of that caliber. We have here Ramim who are great Talmidei Chachamim, according to my humble opinion. I really wouldn't know. You have to be a Talmid Chacham in order to know. But we have here outstanding Ramim. We have an outstanding faculty. A tzevet of beautiful people. According to my humble opinion, I'm slightly biased. The best in Eretz Yisrael. And you have the opportunity to literally be shoseh batzoma es divrei. to hear what they have to say, to soak up their words, to become connected to the Torah, to the Masoreis, to Hashem Yisbarach, Hayom Azeh. What an opportunity. That year and a half changed my life. And I hope in Mitzvah Hashem it's going to change your life as well. But it's basically, as the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Ein Hadavar Tolo Yelabi. Rabbi Elazar ben Dur just said, you know, does it depend on you? You have to want to do it. All you want, sometimes the Yitzhak gets in the way, and I'll end with what I mentioned in Shir. It's no get to Maseches Gedushin in some respects. I'm sitting in Shir without salvation. We're learning Perek HaMegarish, the end of Gittin. And the Mishnah tells us that sometimes a husband is permitted to divorce his wife against her will. And the Rav takes out a Rambam, Perek Beis Hilchos Gerushin Halacha Chof, and reads the Rambam. The Rambam asks, how could I divorce my wife against her will? How can I be compelled to divorce my wife against my will? I'm sorry. What about Bechira Chavshis? The Rambam includes in Hilchos Tshuva several prokim on Bechira Chavshis. Free will. What's with free will? How can they compel me to divorce my wife? So the Rambam said, because really every Jew wants to do the right thing. Every Jew wants to carry out the Ratzon of Hashem Yisbarach. But what gets in the way? The Yetzer Hara. So what do we have to do? Get rid of the Yetzer Hara, and then will the real Avishai David stand up? And then the Rav, this is the only time in 7 years that I heard the following. The Rav said, do you know, there is a drain service that clears drains. You know, if you have a clogged drain, called Rotaruta. I don't know if you ever heard of Roto-Rooter. Rabbi Affel, you ever hear of Roto-Rooter? So Roto-Rooter has this jingle. It's only in Ashkenazi communities. Anyway, so the Sfarim don't have any drain problems. They don't suffer from spiritual atherosclerosis. Only Ashkenazim. Anyway, so, but the jingle goes like this. You have a picture of a drain that was beautiful, sparkling and all that. And then suddenly it's all clogged up and grimy and greasy. And then Roto-Rooter, are they going to tumble down the drain? Roto-Rooter. That's how the jingle goes. I remember that. I don't remember Rambam's or Gemara's, but Roto-Rooter I remember. So I'll let you say it. That's the pshat, this Rambam. You bring in Roto-Rooter, they take out the Yetzer Hara, and what happens? The real person emerges. That's what Eretz Yisrael is all about. It brings us a level of Tahara, because Roto-Rooter is working here. Who's Roto-Rooter? Every Rebbe, every Manal, this yeshiva, works for Roto-Rooter. Avei go trouble down the drain. A year of Aliyah, a year of tremendous Simcha, of Dvekus Hashem, the Sfarno writes, I saw, he said, the Simcha is on the two Brisim of Har Grizim and Har Ebal. The opportunity not only to really each one of us to ascend, but also to bring all of us together. We're going to ascend together, Mitz Hashem, and have a Aliyah in Mitz Hashem at Shmei Shamayim with tremendous Hatzlof and Bracha.
I hope it's okay I gave a look.